listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
Welcome back. We're joined by Fred Flights, my friend and colleague at the Center for Security Policy, where he serves as our Senior Vice President for Policy and Programs. Fred is, of course, a career intelligence professional with an extended service to our country at the Central Intelligence Agency as an analyst, as the Chief of Staff to Ambassador John Bolton in the State Department, and as a professional staff member on the House Intelligence Committee. This is a wealth of experience that informs his great work, including a new paper we'll be speaking of momentarily with Fred about North Korea. Fred, let me just say welcome. It's good to have you with us, as always.
Good to be here.
Fred, before we get to North Korea, I did want to just get your thoughts in light of your long experience within the intelligence community, both as a practitioner and as an overseer on the staff of the Intelligence Committee, and I guess as a user in the Department of State, what you make of what I think can only be called the deep state that is now very much in evidence as a result of revelations about what has been going on within the FBI, apparently including the deputy director, Andrew McCabe, and this agent by the name of Peter Strzok, and in the Justice Department with senior level officials there, and sort of more generally, the National Security Council, the UN mission. I mean, it just goes on and on. It seems as though you really had kind of throughout the Obama administration, the Hillary Clinton campaign operating. And after all of that ended, it's now moved over and is now doing business as the special counsel investigating the president of the United States and his team. What do you make of all of this, Fred?
Frank, I've given a lot of thought to this, and you've probably heard liberal journalists saying that, look, it doesn't matter if thousands of emails were expressed criticizing President Trump or that some of these prosecutors may have attended Hillary Clinton's election party because they're entitled to their personal political views, and that's normal. And, you know, I understand that, but look, I worked at the CIA when I watched them actively trying to undermine two Republican presidents, President George H.W. Bush and President Reagan. I remember an editorial that the Wall Street Journal published in 2004 when President George W. Bush was seeking re-election entitled "The CIA Insurgency." It was all about leaks that were coming out to try to give the presidency to John Kerry. So when I see all this evidence of this political bias, I got to tell you, it does matter. It really does matter. And let me tell you something else real quick. I know two people who were nominated to senior positions through the State Department, and they told me they can't say anything pro-Trump in their meetings with State Department officials. The hostility is that thick. They've gone through briefings where they've been given statements and briefings by people from the Brookings Foundation that basically are promoting Islamists and talking down the positions of the president on the threat of radical Islam. So I don't want to make light of all this bias by the Mueller investigation, but it is crucial that the president get control of government by filling it with strong officials who will basically make these people understand that they have to keep politics out of their work and to understand this is uphill battle when dealing with the deep state liberal bureaucracy.
But Fred, am I overstating the case to suggest that the deep state, in the respects that we've been discussing, actually is behaving in a manner that I think is tantamount to subversion? It is clearly at odds with the professional responsibilities in these various agencies, to say nothing of, you know, the democratic principle that you are there to serve the president of the United States, who's been duly empowered by the people of this country. When you see this fellow Strzok talking about in text messages to his mistress, no less, another FBI agent or official, that, you know, we need an insurance policy in case the American people actually elect this moron. I mean, it really smacks of sedition to me.
I agree. And it's not new. I've seen this through multiple administrations. I think the Trump administration thinks it's new because they're outsiders. They had no idea the incredible bias of the professional bureaucrats when I was at the State Department working for John Bolton, some of these bureaucrats said, you know, our job is just to wait out these Republicans. They did not want to change any policies from the Clinton administration when George W. Bush was in office. There's a trend here. That's why we have to have very tough nominees put in place by the president to make sure that these people obey the law and obey regulations on doing non-political service to our country and not basically playing political games on the taxpayers' dime.
Well, I guess for the distinction I'm making, I know there have been differences in policy. As you know, I served in the Reagan administration. I saw it firsthand and have certainly talked with you over the years as you've been observing it. It does seem to me that there's a difference between disagreeing with policy and, you know, trying not to have it implemented and waiting out the politicals and the like. I think there's a qualitative difference, though, to taking steps that involve literally the impeachment of the president or the subverting of his legitimacy and his authority inside the government. I mean, that seems to me to be a horse of a different color, but maybe I'm old school on this, but it does need to be rooted out. You're absolutely right about that. And I would start with rooting it out of the so-called special counsel's office. Fred, now let me turn quickly to a very important paper that you've just published at the Center for Security Policy. It's an occasional paper, we call it. It explores, I think, in important ways, the challenge that we're currently facing from North Korea. You've studied this problem and indeed the proliferation of weapons of mass destruction more generally for years. You've studied particularly of late the Iran deal, the country that is joined at the hip, it seems, with North Korea. Tell us about your new paper and its findings.
Well, the paper, which was published today on the Center's website, securefreedom.org, is titled, "Time is Running Out for the United States to Address the North Korean Nuclear Threat." And I go through the argument that, we can live with this because North Korea's nuclear and missile programs are a deterrent to stop a U.S. attack. I think a nation with such a large missile force, ICBMs, submarine-launched missiles, over 60 nuclear weapons, H-bombs, this is not a defensive deterrent force. This is an offensive force that North Korea is eventually going to use. So I go through the deterrence arguments. I explain why they're not valid and why the president has to consider using at least the limited use of military force to try to change the dynamics of the North Korean conflict and make it clear that continuing to pursue these programs will mean the end of the Kim regime.
Well, and if we don't, I think is your point, it may well be the end of the United States. This is a point that I think cannot be overstated. We're looking at a North Korean regime that has, over time, with the complicity or at least the acquiescence of successive American administrations, Republican and Democratic, been allowed to get to a point where, as we discussed yesterday with Dr. Peter Pry, it could well take down our country, possibly with a single weapon, maybe one deployed in a satellite using electromagnetic pulse attack. So, Fred, this analysis of yours that a limited strike by us not only may be possible, but may be absolutely necessary, is a critical contribution to the debate, and I appreciate it tremendously. I think that it's most timely, and I certainly appreciate the work that went into it. Thank you for all the work you do for us at the Center for Security Policy, Fred Flights. You can follow his writings at securefreedom.org. Check out in particular his superb book on the Iranian nuclear threat, Obama Bomb, a Great and Growing National Security Fraud. Fred Flights, we'll talk with you again next week.